Well, we're going to continue our Kingdom of God series. We started to put our backdrop up, and just all the people who helped with this, thank you. And we actually have a cross that's supposed to go in the middle. That's on its way, because the cross kind of brings heaven and earth, the access of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And so I'm just so excited about what it represents, because it represents a kingdom that we're supposed to be walking in, a kingdom that's accessible. A kingdom that's not just held to yourself, but can go throughout the world. This kingdom is something that Jesus preached more than he preached about anything else. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he would say, repent, which means start changing the way you think. Because the way you're thinking in the old mindset, in the earthly mindset, is not the way to think anymore. Because there is a new kingdom that's come, that Jesus has brought. And because of what he's done for us, he's united us with this kingdom. And when you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit of Christ, and you become what Jesus called born again. You're a new creation. The old things of your life has passed away, and behold, you have become new. And now the love that you used to have, which was conditional, is no longer the love that you walk in, because you walk in something called an unconditional love, because it's not your love, it's his love. And you start to be able to love the unloving. And all of a sudden, Jesus says that you need to love your enemies. What? Nuts. How's that even possible, God? Love people who hurt me? Love people who are against me? Love people who call me names? Love people who want the worst for me and my family? How is that possible? Through him it is. Because you're not loving with your love. You died in that baptismal pool. For those of you who've been baptized, the word says you died in that baptismal pool, and you rose again with Christ. So don't try to walk around with that dead man, that old man, that old woman, where you're trying to bring him back to life. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants to trick you and to say, listen, you have a right to live the old way. You have a right to be offended. You have a right to be upset. You have a right to go after greed and money and fame or whatever it might be, the temptations of the flesh. It's always gonna chase you. The enemy's always gonna try to bring that to your frontal lobe, to your front mind. And Christ says, no longer do you wanna do that. You need to have the mind of Christ now, where you walk in this new way. Why? Because it's about his kingdom. This isn't a religion. A religion is something that says, hey, do this and you'll get this. And Jesus is saying, you know, like a religion is something that looks to the afterlife, that it's only afterlife. It's like, you know, survive and you'll get this. But no, Jesus is saying, yes, you will get heaven in death, but in life you can get heaven too. Heaven's accessible for you. And I get challenged by the Lord all the time, because I say, yes, Lord, I believe this. But the truth is, if I truly believed it, there would be a difference. There would be a change. It wouldn't just be mouth talk. There would be actions behind my mouth talk, behind my words. And maybe you do believe it, and Ethan is kind of in transition. The Lord was using him too, because it's a lot of what I want to talk about, because maybe you really do believe it and still change isn't coming. Well, that's because you're missing one thing, and that's surrender. You see, Satan believes in Jesus. Satan knows that God is real. Satan knows that he's the creator of the universe, but he chooses to live in an unsurrendered life. So that's why he's no longer allowed to be in heaven. He was cast out. Why? Because he's been his heart has turned from God. So believing isn't really enough, even though I know what we mean when we say we believe, but it's actually believing with faith in a surrendered life. The verse I want to talk about this morning is a verse that's very dear to me. It's a verse I love to quote. It's a verse that I used to preach on often when I was a traveling itinerant minister, and that's Romans 14, 17. Apostle Paul, and this is his one reference to the kingdom of God in the letter of Romans, and he says, for the kingdom of God, is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Wow. Come on. This is the kingdom. This is what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about the things that are physical. It's not about arguing over peripheral doctrines and peripheral things. But the kingdom of God is being in right standing with Jesus Christ because he is the King of Kings. And what's great about righteousness, it's not your righteousness that gives you access into the kingdom. It's actually his righteousness. We get clothed in the righteousness of Christ because he's a king. And we're no longer in a kingdom that is under our own rule, our self-rule. We've come under a new kingdom when we receive Christ as Lord. And when you are in a kingdom, the king is the one who makes all the rules. Like when you're in a, if you were under a different time period or maybe in a different country, when a king is dethroned or invaded by a different army and there is a new king in place, the rules don't stay the same. It dramatically affects your life. You actually have to live by a new set of rules, a new kingdom, and you might be living in the same land, but now you're under a different rule. There's different authority. And when you come into a life of the kingdom of God and you say, Jesus, you are my Lord and King, then he justifies you. He says, all of your debt, all of your sins, they're gonna be forgiven. See, a king can do that in any kingdom. You could have a ton of debt in the 1500s. And if you found favor with the king, he could actually say, all your debt is going to be paid. It's amazing. It's amazing because Jesus does that exact thing for us. He says, you know, that life you lived, you were in great debt to me, but I'm now forgiving you of all that debt. And you are made new. You are made clean. And now you are living under this rule. And when you live under this rule, it's a different way of thinking. The kingdom in the earth's perspective is upside down. See, in our kingdom, we don't love our enemies, we hate our enemies. In the kingdom of heaven, we love our enemies. In our kingdom, the first is first and the last is last. In his kingdom, the last is first and the first is last. In our kingdom, the greatest leader is the greatest leader and the servant is the servant. In his kingdom, the servant is the leader. You want to lead well? You want to lead the city of Albuquerque? Serve the city of Albuquerque. The kingdom is upside down. It's a repent. Change the way you're thinking right now about your life and how you're living your life. Because when you get under his kingdom and his rule, you are now living by his kingdom and his domain. It's not a different realm. It's actually a different rule. It's his dominion, king's domain, kingdom. That's how you get that word. I should have been looking at my notes. I was just overflowing. I remember when I was traveling the world at a young age, I went on some missions trips and they had this orientation and they would sit everyone together. And we went to some countries that were non-democratic countries. They were ruled by dictators, but they allowed Americans to come and do charitable work and missions work because it was blessing those villages and things of that nature. And the one thing that we had to learn in orientation was, listen, you've been born and raised thinking that you have all your rights and they'll never be able to be taken away from you. But when you leave the domain of America and you land in this other country, those rights that you believe are God-given and you have all of a sudden are gone away because you're under a different authority. And so I remember being screamed at because I forgot about this. And I was in front of a public official government office. And one of the biggest rules, they said, please do not take pictures of these government official offices because if they catch you taking pictures, they will arrest you and put you away indefinitely. You could scream all you want and say, I have a right to a lawyer. And they'd say, not here, you don't. You'd actually have to beg for their compassion or for mercy, because all the things that were afforded to you as an American citizen in this new domain is not afforded to you. Actually, everything's different, and it becomes frustrating, especially if you've never traveled outside the country, because you're hit in the face with this different way of thinking. Even your currency is no longer good. Now, American currency in some nations is better than the currency that you're dealing with, so they'll take it at a price. But I mean, I've gone to like Germany, Australia, even if you try to pay with American, they'll be like, we can't take that here. We can't even process that. Your money's no good here. You see, in the kingdom of heaven, the currency is different. The currency is all different. It's your works mentality doesn't actually go as far. Even though it's expected of you, the currency of the kingdom is faith, hope, and love. The currency of the kingdom is upside down to our natural mindset, our natural thinking. In an earthly mindset, when you're fighting, when you want to have a, when you're, you know, you're defending yourself, the posture is always like this. I mean, if you ever watch two people fight, you always can tell the one who's been fighting before. Because if someone's not been fighting, they'll be squared up and they're a massive target. If they're a fighter, they'll try to make their target like a boxer, real thin, right? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you fighters. You need repentance, redemption. Can't believe you. No, I'm just kidding. So that's the position of fighting, right? But in the kingdom, you know the weakest position to be in fighting? This is it, on your knees. This is the position of surrender. Or like this, right? Your head's down. You are totally defenseless. You are at the will and whim of the person you're kneeling before. But in the kingdom, it's the strongest position. In the kingdom, it's fighting like this, on your knees, knowing that in faith that your prayers are heard by the King of Kings who fights for you. It's a whole different mentality. And what is the fruit of living in the kingdom of God according to the Holy Spirit? It's right standing with God, knowing that your life is not your own anymore. It's totally His. Like, you are at the whim and will of the King. And so it's not, you know, as a citizen of America, I do have earthly rights. I have a right to certain things that they've afforded me, and I'm gonna take advantage of those rights. Freedom of speech. I don't know the other ones. Freedom of the press. I don't know. Freedom to think, I don't know. Assembly, freedom to assemble. I hope the lawyers don't get upset at me and the pay. Anyway, but when it comes to your life being God's, your life's His now. He might tell you to do something different than you've ever done, or He might demand things from you like selflessness and self-sacrificing. He might say, love your wife even though you know she's wrong and you're right, and to be quiet, and to not try to defend yourself. I mean, God's crazy like that. He'll tell you stuff like that. Just like, but God, I could say something right now, and Jesus, help me, so I say. Help me. But the position of surrender brings us, first of all, this thing that God says, you're right standing with me now. You're righteous. Not because of what you've done, but because of what I've done. That's what God's saying. You're now right standing. So you have righteousness. And then you have peace. Now, I love peace. I have a book. I never promote my book because I just, that's not who I am. But I have a published book by a real publisher who asked me to write it. I'm not trying to get you to buy it, but I'm telling you, if you want to buy it, you can. No, I'm just kidding. All your currency's good there. No, seriously though, 100% of the profits of my book go to feeding hungry children. My own. just kidding. Look, I have 7 kids, right? 5 little ones. I'm just kidding. You don't have to buy the book. You can get it real cheap. But the book is called The Power of God's Peace, because people undervalue what his peace is. They have no idea. They think that peace means the absence of conflict. And that's what peace on earth means. Peace means no conflict. Well, hello, I don't know anywhere where there's real true earthly peace. There's always conflict. But the peace of heaven transcends and overcomes conflict. See, the peace of heaven is powerful. Peace, the word shalom in Hebrew, it's called shalom, is a word that has evolved into such a beautiful word. It means totally whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, total wholeness inside and out. That's what peace. So when you say shalom, or you hear when you're watching The Chosen, you know, when they say, hey, shalom to you, you know, they're saying, peace be with you. May his peace totally, may he be total peace. It's a beautiful word. The etymology of the word, the beginning meaning of the word, it meant something a little different. And it's really important to understand this, because the word talks about God's peace so often. See, the Hebrew word shalom is made of 4 different letters, and those letters were also pictures. See, the Hebrew language was not only phonetic, but it was pictorial. So it had pictures that represented things of itself. And you can look this up. You can Google ancient Hebrew word for shalom. Don't do it right now because I'm talking, but you can do it later. And the first picture is jagged teeth, and it means to destroy. The second picture is a shepherd's hook, and it means authority. The third picture is literally an attaching picture. It's a nail. It's a picture of a nail, and it means to attach. And the fourth picture is a bunch of waves, and it means chaos. And when you literally said shalom or peace in the ancient Hebrew, you were saying to destroy the authority attached to chaos. So when you're praying for people and you're saying, God, give them peace, you're not asking them to be still. You're not asking them to just accept their situation and be content. What you're asking is that God would destroy the authority attached to chaos in their life. Why? Because his peace is powerful. His peace is his kingdom coming. His peace is saying, look, you become now a thermostat and not a thermometer. Right? You can go and take a temperature of the whole world by watching all the news and all the podcasts and all the stuff, and you say, I know this and this and this and this. And it's true. And it's actually wise to know things that are going on. I'm not saying I'm against all that, but I'm saying I'm against this. If we don't start changing the way we think and start being thermostats instead of thermometers, thermostats knows the temperature of the room, but it's set to change it. And when we bring his kingdom, we are like ambassadors of a different kingdom. We represent a king. When you go to an embassy, it's very interesting. You could be in the United States of America, but when you go to the embassy of Germany, when you walk into that embassy, it is considered German land. The U.S. government will not go into, like, you could run from the cops and run into the U.S., the German embassy, and, I mean, they might kick you out because you're not German, but the cops won't go in because it's not their land. I know there's other ways they'll try. Someone who was on the run from governments, I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree with this person, but there's a man, Julian Assange, who took refuge inside an embassy that was inside the country that wanted him. And they couldn't get to him, even though he was technically surrounded by the country that needed him, but he was in an embassy that was a different country. It represented a different kingdom. Even though we are on earth, we now are a part of a different kingdom. And when we start interacting with the kingdom of this world, we are showing them the kingdom of heaven. And we are saying, hey, let me show you what real love is. Let me show you what real serving is. Let me show you what the power of God can do in your life right now. Let me show what it looks like to have surrender. And when you have the righteousness of God and the peace of God, there's only one thing that brings. It's his joy. To be content in any situation, no matter your circumstances, because you hold on to this promise that is so much greater than anything that could happen into you in front of you. And that's why it's always challenged many Christians, or it's always challenged the world when they would see Christians go through deep, deep areas of trauma and find that they still have a joy in their life. And they say, how can you do that? It's because we have a different king and we're in a different government, and it brings a different joy that you could ever experience. One definition I found about Christian joy, and I'm just going to read it because I think it just is so much more articulate than what I could say. It says this, is a deep sense of delight, contentment, and gladness that is rooted in one's relationship with God and is characterized by an unwavering confidence in his promises. It is not obedient on external circumstances or fleeting emotions, but rather is a consistent state of being that transcends and challenges the trials of life. Our Christian joy is grounded in the belief that God is good, faithful, and sovereign, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. I've been in meetings, boardrooms, directors' meetings, where in other positions that I've had, where no one has a solution to a big problem and there's a lot of anxiety in the room. But because I choose to trust in God and I don't choose to submit to the anxiety or fear in front of me, I can see the solution so much clearer than any of my counterparts. And it's given me favor and grace. There's something about the position of surrender to his kingdom that will bring fulfillment and transformation that I can't even really articulate well until you experience it. There's this thing about understanding that your life is not your own anymore. Jesus says this in Mark 8, 36 through 38, and I didn't give you this verse, but I promise you it's in the Bible. If you want to turn to it, you can. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll read it to you, even though I quote. I'm always... You know, some people can like memorize things word for word. I'm always kind of like in the ballpark. I don't know, do you struggle with this? I'm a pastor and I struggle with this. In the ESV translation, it says, Jesus says this, what does it profit a man or a woman, it means both man and woman, to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me, of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What's it gain? What's it profit you? What good is it for you to gain everything in the world, anything you could ever want or ask for, but in the end you lose your own soul? In the end, it's for nothing. And you can find this with people who maybe have much lack in their life and they're chasing something that they think will bring fulfillment. All of a sudden, they have that fulfillment and their joy doesn't change. They might be happy for a moment. It might get them on a jet ski. I heard a comedian say one time, you never see someone frowning on a jet ski. But after the jet ski, the reality is that circumstances dictate how they're feeling and not who they serve. And so I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to stand, that we would be a part of a kingdom that is not of this world, that brings righteousness, peace, and joy in your life. And it will happen through surrendering to him. Kneeling at this cross, giving your life totally to Jesus. And what's so great is that the gospel, which is translated in English, means good news. This is good news. This is great news. We have the gospel. And for us to keep it a secret and us to not be, for us to not be ambassadors of Christ is a shame. You have the best thing that anyone could ever hear in this world. Don't keep it a secret. And don't be ashamed to share it. If you want to see change, you need to be changed. You need to do something different than what you've been doing. And so don't be ashamed to tell people. Don't be ashamed to stop someone and say, hey, can I tell you why I have such great joy? And if you're saying, well, I don't have joy and I don't have peace and I don't have this righteousness understanding and feeling, well, it's change the way you think. Start understanding if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, start really understanding what that means in your life. Because it does make a difference. So I want to pray for you. I know this city has a lot of stuff going on. Jesus gatherings happening, and we want to see this city changed. It needs to start in our lives first. We need to be a witness. People should look at our lives and go, why is that person so different? It's because of Jesus. So as you bow your head and close your eyes, if you want to do that with us, just have this position of surrender to him. Jesus, we surrender to you. We surrender to your kingdom. We surrender to your lordship. Our life is not our own anymore. Jesus, the things that have burdened us down, we give to you. Lord, I pray that we would not love one another with our love, but we would love one another with your love, that it would be a sign for the world, that they would know you by our love for one another. Jesus, I pray that you would help us change the way we think, that our joy would not be so easily stolen, that our peace would not be so easily robbed, that we would understand who we are in your kingdom so that we could be good ambassadors of your kingdom, not by just our works, but because of our faith, our belief, and our surrender to you. Lord, would it just be the fruit of your spirit overflowing out of our lives? Holy Spirit, may your love flow through this morning and may it impact like never before. God, I pray for transformation. Transformation in our lives, transformation in our families, God. Father, transformation in our friends. Father, transformation in our workplace, transformation in our community, transformation in our city, transformation in our nation, transformation in the world. God, that the world may truly know you, and all the evil in the world, all the hatred in the world, all the things that are being toxic in this world. Jesus, would you come clear it out? Bring your heavenly angels, God. Help us clear out the toxicness of this world so they can truly be free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.